who goes and starts sending out messengers to all these cities where all these different sons live. And he gets all these people to say, hey, if you're on my side, if you're on their side, you better get on their side. You better stay with them. You better be serving them right now. If not, you're going to be in trouble. And then he goes, hey, and then everyone's, verse number, let's see here. I believe it's verse number six. I'm sorry, verse number five. And he that was over the house, and he that was over the city, the elders also, and the bringers up of the children sent to Jehu, saying, we are thy servants, and will do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes. Verse number four is the one I wanted to read. But they were exceedingly afraid and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? So these guys hear about all this stuff that he's doing. I mean, two kings die. The king of Judah and the king of Israel die. Now imagine if that happened nowadays, where two political head leaders like that just died. Everybody would know about it instantly. Back then, news traveled really fast. And they're like, this guy, Jehu, he's already killed two kings. Now he's wondering, hey, who are you guys making king next so I can take him out? It's like, no. We're good, Jehu. We're on your side. So Jehu sends out another letter and says, hey, if you're on my side, guess what I want you to do? Cut off all their heads and bring them to me. I want you to bring me all their heads. I want to make sure everyone's accounted for. I should have 70 heads when you bring them all to me. Verse number 9. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, be ye righteous. Behold, I conspired against thy master and slew him. But who slew all of these? So in verses number 6, 7, and 8, they're bringing in all the people. They stack up all the heads in front of the gates to enter the city. And he goes, hey, I know I slew the king. I knew I slew the other king, but who in the world did all this other work? I didn't do it. I didn't kill these 70 sons of Ahab. Verse number 10. Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. What a testimony, right? Jehu doesn't necessarily do it himself, but Jehu follows the orders of God. He follows them to a letter. He gets rid of the house of Ahab, does everything he's supposed to do. And now he comes here and he gives God the glory. Verse number 10 again. Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord. He's saying God's word is going to last forever. It's never going to touch the ground. It's always going to be around. It's never going to fade away. It's always going to be there. Verse 10, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab, the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. Now, I don't know about y'all, but back then, from history, from what I know of, when somebody normally kills another king, they take a lot of credit for it. They want to publicize it, they want to push it out there, because they want to assert their dominance. But he right here says that God is the one who took care of Ahab. I didn't do it, God did it. Although Jehu was used to kill the kings, although Jehu was used for so many different things, Jehu gives credit to God. It's really nice to see this. It's refreshing, because when you read through the book of 2 Kings, it's bad king after bad king after bad king. There's Elijah and Elisha that are a bright spot, but you got Ahab in here, you got Jehoram and all these people that you can just read about. But Jehu is like, I'll give God the glory right here. God's the one who took care of Ahab. God's the one that stopped it. And it stopped from Jehu just didn't only fulfill God's orders, where now Jehu talked a really good part. And he even continues this good part of his talking, because we flip over to the next, for me it's the next page, but 2 Kings 10:19. Jehu's going to start doing something else. Jehu is going to try and get rid of all Baal worship. All Baal worship. But before we get to 10:19, I want to read a verse specifically. Read 15 through 18. The Bible says, and when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him, and said to him, is thine heart right, as my heart is with thine heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took up, and he took him up to him. I don't know why I struggle with that. Into the chariot. And he said, this is the part where I want you to see. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. Verse number 18, and Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal little, but Jehu will serve him much. So he tells this guy in the chariot, hey, come with me. I want you to see my zeal for the Lord. I want you to see how much I love the Lord. I want you to see how much I want to serve the Lord. And he comes and the first thing he says is, hey, Ahab served Baal little, I'm going to serve him a whole bunch. Now this excites everybody because they're uncertain about what's going to happen. So this excites all the Baal worshipers. This excites the Baal priest. Verse number 19. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. So he sends out a message and says, hey, I want every priest, I want every worshiper, I want every singer, I want everything that is associated with Baal, I want them here. And if they don't show up, you kill them. Okay. If they don't show up, if they're not going to be whole in on serving Baal, they're only going to be in part way, kill them. But I want everybody else to show up here, and we are going to serve Baal together. But the Bible tells us that he's doing this all subtly, because he wants to get rid of Baal. Verse number 20. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal, and they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. So they gathered together all the Baal worshipers. Imagine what a sight that would have been. The heathenism that was associated with Baalism. And all these, this huge group of Baal worshipers are just there, and it's like, wow. What a group of people. Verse number 21. And Jehu sent throughout all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said unto him that was over the vesture, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal, and he brought them forth vestments. And Jehu went and Jonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshipers of Baal only. So he says, let's make sure there's no holy people in here. Let's make sure there's nobody who serves Jehovah God. And in verses 24 through 26 and 27 and 28, he goes through and he kills all the prophets of Baal, all the worshipers of Baal, all the singers of Baal. He does all that. And not only does he doesn't stop at that. He then goes into the house of Baal and completely and utterly destroys it. To where the Bible says in verse 28, thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. That's impressive. That's something that's good. That is something that when you look back at verse number 16, it says, hey, see my zeal. Look at my zeal. It's like, yeah, look at this. He's taking out paganism out of Israel. Now we can go back to the way that it was. Jehu, wow, that's amazing. But there's one problem with all this. And it's verse number 29. Howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. So he kills all these people, all these Baal worshipers, everything. The next verse it says, he goes and serves golden cows. Think about the hypocrisy here. Think about everything that's happening here. And as I was reading this and looking at this, it struck me. Who made Baal popular in Israel? Jezebel. Jezebel made it popular. Think about the priests that was on Mount Carmel. Think about the ones that weren't there, the ones of Ashtaroth. Think about how she fed them, about how she did this, and they took care of all these people. Whose loyalty would they be to? They wouldn't be to Jehu. Even if they switched heads, these people loved Ahab. Ahab gave them a place. But Jehu roots them all out. Jehu, when he roots out Baal here, he's not doing it out of a love for God. If he did it out of a love for God, there would be no verse 29. The cows wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be serving Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, his idols. In fact, I think it's really interesting. If you go all the way back to where inside of chapter 9, verse number 9, there's two people's names that are supposed to be eradicated. One name's already been eradicated. The second one's supposed to be Ahab. But the first name that got eradicated to where he had no descendants was Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the first name that God says, hey, we're taking out all of Jeroboam's seed. Now, Ahab, I want all of his seed gone because of Baal worship. But now Jehu goes, Baal worship bad. Yeah, we don't like Baal worship. We'll serve the golden cows. We'll serve the golden cows. I found a quote that was really interesting when talking about Jehu's zeal. It says, zeal for the Lord is great and rare thing when it is pure. It fortifies its reward. However, when it is aimed to be seen, how many a one deceives himself with the zeal for the Lord and for his kingdom, when at the bottom he is zealous only for himself. Jehu says he's zealous for the Lord. Jehu says, I want to further the Lord's kingdom. Jehu talks a really great part. But in verse number 29, it says specifically, he returns to the idol worship of Jeroboam. And then if you even go further in verse number 31, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel. Verse number 30, God actually talks to Jehu and tells him, hey, you did a good thing. You did what you're supposed to do. And try to encourage him to, hey, come back. But in verse number 31, it specifically says, he is not going to do the word of the Lord. He's not going to follow the law. He's not going to do what he's supposed to do. He's going to stick with Jeroboam and the cows. And all of this coming all around this man, Jehu, his life. I studied Jehu before we preached, and I read through it, and he really confused me. Because why would you do all this, you do all this good stuff, and you say all these good things, and then you turn out bad, and you do bad things? Why do you do this? And it's because it's like the little girl on the bus. She learns the verse to get the candy. Jehu kills Ahab to get the kingdom. Jehu kills the idol worshippers. Why? I don't want somehow what happened in France inside the 1300s, 1400s where the Catholic Church goes and they actually become the government head instead of the puppet government that was the kings back then, where the religion actually controls everything. I don't want that to happen with Baal because they still serve Baal and they value the Baal's priests' minds more than what I would say because they are so tied to their religion. We want that out of here. And Jehu does everything in a good face for God. But inward, he's doing it all to put himself in a position where no one's going to question his reign. No one's going to say, Jehu, why are you here? Jehu, I think we should kill you and take you out of here. Jehu, I think that you don't deserve this spot. You should not be king. After this chapter, before verse 29, there's no one to challenge him now. Verse 28, no one's going to challenge him. He's done everything God has. All the elders are scared of him. All the cities are scared of him. And now he's just here. And he's king. But the thing I love about this is that God doesn't let us just do this. When we decide to live in our own strength, which Jehu decides to do, versus we live, Jehu decided to live his own strength. God doesn't allow that to go unchecked. Verse number 32, in those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them and all the coasts of Israel, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites and the Reubenites and the Manassites from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. So he starts to lose his power. God starts letting people invade. God starts letting people take over. God starts letting people just inch their way in little bit by little bit, taking this spot and this spot and this spot. Why? Because Jehu, although he talks a good talk, is living in his own strength, which is where the title comes for tonight, Going, Going, Then Gone. Jehu goes and goes and goes and goes and goes for the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's like, gone. It's like, was he even part of the Lord? Does he even believe in God? Is the guy who says inside that verse about how God's words are not going to fall to the ground, about how God's the one who killed Ahab, is that guy the same guy that's like, let's not pay attention to the word of the Lord? How is this the same guy? And I struggled with this for a little bit until I began to think in my own life, how many times do I do things just because it's what I'm supposed to do? It's to save face. Like, for work here at church, when I work in the church, I am required to go a certain amount of hours of visitation a week. Do I go on visitation just because it's part of my job? Not because it's the Great Commission, not because it's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, not because it's my obligation to God and what he's told me to do, or is it just because if I don't, he might fire me? Why do I do it? Why in the world do I read my Bible in the morning? Is it just because so it means I can go back in the teen room and tell them, hey, you guys need to read your Bible? And they say, well, did you read yours? Well, of course I read mine. Or do I read it because I want to have a relationship with God? Do I try to do soul winning because I want to see a soul saved? Or do I do it because I want to say, hey, that one, I got that one. I know guys at school, and they did it. I'm not knocking them, but they led somebody to the Lord. They were super excited. He's like, that one, I brought that one to church. I did that. I was like, really? Does he know you? They're like, no, I went and witnessed him. I said, that's awesome, man, but if God didn't touch his heart, he wouldn't be here. So when it comes down to it all, what really impressed upon my heart with this passage and everything that's happening, what I think can be really helpful tonight is, why do we do the things that we do? There's a motive behind everything that we do, and Jehu's motives was to look good and act different. And our actions can have multiple purposes. They can have multiple reasons for why we do things. But normally it boils down to one of two. Do I do something because I want to be godly? Or do I do something because I want to serve myself? I want to be selfish. Normally it falls into one of those two categories. Not always. 95% of the time, it's either because I want to be godly or because I want to please myself. I want to further myself. In this story, I remember reading it for the first time and thinking, wow, Jehu, you got rid of Baal. That's something Elijah didn't do. That's something Elisha didn't do. That's something that you think about all the different people that in Judges that struggled with Baal worship and all this stuff. You got it out of Israel. Why did you do it? Because I'm king. Now I'm king. I can do what I want. And it really made me start to think, why do I do the things that I do? Why do I get up in the morning and read my Bible? Why do I want to pray? Why do I do these things? Is it because I want to check a box and say, God, look at me, I did this? Or is it because I want to be going for Christ? It's really sad to think about all the people, all the kids I grew up with, teenager-wise, all the ones that floated in and out, all the ones that used to ride the bus. If you think about all the ones in Faith Baptist Church history that rode the bus, where are they? Some of them went for a while. I know some that were going for a really while, and all of a sudden, they're gone. I know church members at the other churches I was at, they were there, they were strong, they were every single week, they were there, and then all of a sudden it was, they just disappeared. It's like, where'd they go? It made me start the question inside my own life, what am I doing that I'm going so hard for God, it appears, but on the inside it's like, nah, I've already checked out. I'm already leaving. And in your life, I would challenge you to look at the things that you do for God. Look at the things that are important to you, that God would bestow upon your heart is important. And when you look at them and you say, why do I do this? Do I want to go really hard for God? Or is it because it's just what I'm supposed to do? Jehu did what he was supposed to do. You get rid of Ahab, you got to get rid of the religion. If you don't, the religion might take you over. Let me see your zeal for God, Jehu. Okay. You got zeal, you got rid of Baal, which is a big feat. But then you're on purpose not walking in the law of the Lord. Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Jehu was so close to living for God. And I feel like that happens in a lot of Christians' lives. They're so close to living for God. But then they end up like Jehu. And they take all the help and promises that God gave them and they waste them. They waste them on their life and furthering themselves. God was there. He was willing to help Jehu. In fact, verse number 30, and the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, thou hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. Wow. Ahab only got two. Him and his son, who died shortly after. Jehu? Four generations. That's a big deal inside of the Book of Kings with Israel. If you look at how many times they switched heads because of people killing somebody else. Four generations. God was there. God was trying to help him. Next verse. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord. Jehu threw it all away just so he could serve idols And this forces God to punish him inside of verses 32 and 33, where he says, I can't let you keep doing this on your own. You're going to have repercussions. You're going to have repercussions for your actions. I'm going to send these people in to take you over, to take parts of your land. You're not going to be as glorious as what you thought you would be. He's using God for his benefit. This really does make me think and ponder. Do I use God or do I follow him? Do I follow God so close because I want to be close to him? Or is it because if I get so close to God, I'm going to be around godly people? If I'm around godly people, that means I can be blessed, but still, I don't have to really live the Christian life. Do I follow God because I want to be blessed by God? Or do I follow it because, like, if I'm close to God, good things happen when you follow God, but I can still serve myself? This is something God's been working in my heart about. Why do I do the things that I do? So, as I said tonight, I would challenge you, go back and look through your life, the things that you do on a daily basis, the things that you might do for God, the things that you might even do that's normal things in your life, and ask, why do I do them? Do I do it because I want to further myself, or do I do it because I love God, and I want to serve him with all my heart? Jehu would have stuck with God and served him with all his heart. The heartache that's inside of 2 Kings 2, inside of like verse 11, you keep going through chapter 11, and chapter 12, and 13. If he would have served him with all his heart, imagine the lives that his kids could have lived that would have been different. So, challenge you tonight. Why do you do the things you do? Are you going for Christ? Or are you starting to slip off to the gone side? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come to church tonight.